This is Discipleship Dissected on Coach and Joe.
Welcome to Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. I'm here with Vince Gaskin. My name is Chad Norris, lead pastor of Bridgeway Church. And I want to take a look at a passage today. You don't hear preached a whole lot in the New Covenant. It's the passage of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. Let me read it and we'll take off on a conversation. Sound good?
Good.
Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? After it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied to just human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. I want to tell a story, Mr. Gaskin. First of all, the Holy Spirit's reminded me that I gave you a word that you would go to Israel with me on the next trip. I just remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
I want to tell you my favorite place in Israel, to which it seems a little bit sadistic, but I don't know why it was my favorite, but I laughed a little bit and it also scared me. So there's A sites, B sites, and C sites in Israel, and you'll see when you go. An A site is like Muslims, Christians, Jews, archaeologists, and sociologists say, it happened right here.
Yeah.
Whatever the it was in the Bible.
Right.
B sites are like, probably.
Yeah.
And then C sites are like, there's no chance, but hey, all the tourists give us our money. And so absolutely, this is where the Lord did the miracle with whatever. And A sites obviously were my favorite.
Yeah.
I was always asking Fote, our tour guide, is this an A site? And he probably said in 11 days over there, 6 to 7 times of like, no doubt, brother. Mm-hmm. One of the A sites is when Herod was eaten by worms.
Is that right?
And he had to be standing where we were standing. So I took a picture of it on my phone. Uh-huh. Because I wanted to remember it the rest of my life, because the fear of the Lord drives me. It's driven me since I was 5 years old. I grew up with a yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir parents. Mm-hmm. The fear of the Lord was taught to me as a Baptist growing up. It's not something that I've had to stumble into. I've never not known fear of the Lord. I actually had to grow in revelation on grace. But in this passage right here, it also reminds me of Herod. So let's get a couple things out of the way, then I want to hear your thoughts on this. I'm just going to set the stage. We're in the New Covenant.
Right.
This is post-ascension. Jesus Christ is on the throne.
Right.
And you got Herod getting eaten by worms. By the way, he was eaten because he received praise from men and didn't give it to God. And then you got Ananias and Sapphira, who were disciples of the way, who were killed by God. Mm-hmm. Now, let me jump into a metaphor. I'm not really a TV guy. I don't have a lot of shows I watch, but when I find one I like, I just love it. Right now, I'm watching a documentary on real people going up to the summit at Everest. Mm-hmm. In the first episode, a Sherpa dies.
Yeah, that happens.
not a person, a Sherpa.
I understand. A leader.
Yes.
A guide.
So, and here's what I'm noticing, and obviously everybody can understand this, because the higher you go up on the mountain, the air is thin.
That's right.
It's dangerous. All right. Base camp at the real Everest. Don't think spiritual metaphor. Think the real Everest. Base camp, you got to acclimate for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't quote me, but I want to say around 17,000 feet-ish. Well, then when you get to stage one, stage two, stage three, some of these, they have to ascend, and then they have to descend like 1,500 feet, and they have to sit there for 3 weeks.
Wow.
To acclimate.
Wow.
So the whole idea is, the higher you go on the mountain, the more severe the air is. Now watch this. What the Father showed me this morning, and I want your thoughts on this. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right?
That's right.
At base camp, a sin, Ananias and Sapphira, Herod, whatever. At base camp, when my flesh rears its head, well, God's still God, but the consequences of my actions at base camp are not the same as the consequences of my action at the summit. Okay, now why? Does God, is he angrier at the summit than he is at base camp? No, it has nothing to do with it. What the Father is showing me is the deeper you go into him, the more you desire his presence. James, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. For example, us putting out the tent and really pushing into prayer here. Well, you got to be careful. Because at base camp, you can get away with a lot more with mm-hmm. your flesh ruling. But once you start pressing in to where the air gets thinner and thinner and thinner, that's when the Ananias and Sapphira's drop. New Covenant, by the way.
Yeah.
That's when the Herod's drop. God asked me a question this morning, and then I want to hear your thoughts on this conversation. He said, why do you think that it happened to Herod when it happened, and it doesn't happen like that a lot? And whenever God asks me a question, it's always because I don't know the answer. The Father's never said, hey, I'm stumped, Chad, can you help me? So as I started pondering it, this is what he showed me. The light was so bright in Acts. The presence was so strong uh-huh. that light took out things that when you're low in base camp or not even walking with the Father, that presence doesn't take out that sin. Not because God doesn't care. It's because you haven't pressed into a place to where it's thin air.
Yeah, yeah.
There's consequence. You have to be careful before you want to go really deep in God, because what I could get away with at base camp,
you can't get away.
What am I trying to say here?
The higher you go, the more treacherous it is, because you're pretty much stripped. You're really stripped. When you get that high or close to God, you're pretty much stripped. And if you bring anything into that throne room that doesn't belong, you know, it's deadly. It's to the point where you're touching the ark, you know. I forgot the
Uzzah.
Yeah, he touches the ark. You know, he's really, really close to holy. He's really close to God right now, and he's not a priest. He's not carrying. They're not carrying the ark the proper way. So he touches it, and God slays him. Right? God slays him. Right? Not the devil. God.
Correct.
All right. So the higher you go, I mean, you got to stay real low. You got to get real low, because, you know, you bring something into that throne room that smells like sin, that smells like iniquity, and you put your life at risk.
You don't hear a lot of teaching in this in the New Covenant. I think, Vince, and I'm not saying people have done it on purpose, I think we've turned God more into a Care Bear or Buddy the Elf,
mm-hmm.
off the Elf movie with Will Ferrell. The truth is, I honestly think there's more idolatry in the New Covenant than there is even in some of these bizarre passages in the Old Testament. 1 Peter, be holy for I am holy. We are to pursue holiness.
Mm-hmm.
This is so paradoxical, because the cry of my heart, Father, I just want to be so close with you. And he says, Chad, I love you enough that this actually has nothing to do with the devil. If you're going to draw this close to me, then if there's any cracks in your foundations, watch this. Chad, you've got to let me clear them up, because here's the deal. It's not the devil that's going to take you out. It's me that'll take you out.
That's right.
This is where I'm at with the Father.
That's right.
And this is just last 48 hours of wrestling with him, journaling and saying, okay, just surrendering. He knows I love him. I'm talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
He says there are cracks in my foundation
mm-hmm.
that if he doesn't allow me to store up, it's not the devil. It's not the devil. It's not me warring with the devil. The amount of glory that the Father wants to pour out on me, my foundations can't handle him. A lot of us
mm-hmm.
think that, well, we just have to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Yes, that's so true. That's not what I'm talking about. When God draws so close, I have to have the foundations to handle the glory. You know what the word glory means in Hebrew? The heaviness. Vince, I hate leg work in the gym. I can't stand it.
I didn't either, but I'd hate skinny legs too.
Why? What is it about us needing to prepare ourselves for the coming glory? I'm not talking about the devil.
No.
What am I going at here?
You're going at the heart of man. You're going at what is the thing that offends God the most, that Jesus Christ took upon himself, that we don't even acknowledge. You're going at our fundamental belief of who God is. You did a lesson this week on the conversation between Jesus and Peter. You know, Jesus asks him, do you love me? And Peter says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And in every instance, Jesus says, feed my sheep. All right. The problem with us is we want to be sheep. All right. We don't want to be Peter. We want to be sheep. All right. and sheep like to get fed. You know, you watch us, and we stay at base camp this way. All right, this is why where we stay. We stay at base camp. And at base camp, we're looking to be fed. Feed me, feed me, feed me. All right. And we're looking for the Peters to feed us. All right. And what God wants from us, he wants disciples, but he wants us to trust him, to lean on him. But in order to do that, we have to give up our opinions. We have to give up our right to be right. All right. The first opinion in the Bible came from Eve. All right. Her opinion was that, hey, you know, it looks good. It's going to make me wise. It's going to make me strong. That was her first opinion ever given to history. All right. And God doesn't care about our opinions. He doesn't want our opinions. All right. Yeah. He wants conversation. He wants relationship. But when it comes to right, wrong, and holiness, he doesn't want our opinions. What he wants is our humility. He wants our humbleness. He wants us to be consecrated to him. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he wants us to look like him. Mm-hmm. The only opinion that matters is his. The only thought that matters is his. The only way that matters is his. Mm-hmm. And if you bring anything else into that, when you get high up, when you get to the point, and this scares me, be honest with you.
Yeah, it does.
It should scare you, mm-hmm. you know, because too many great men have fallen. Men of God have fallen because they got so high up, mm-hmm. all right, they thought, well, God wouldn't mind if I, you know, took a little bit for myself.
Mm-hmm. Aching.
Oh, yeah, yeah. God wouldn't mind because God is merciful. God is kind. God is loving. You know, you preached on severity this weekend, mm-hmm. this past weekend. And, you know, anybody who hadn't heard that message needs to go back and listen to it. God is severity as well. You know, he holds himself holy.
Romans 11:22.
Yes.
Consider both the kindness and severity mm-hmm. of God.
And he is. You have to consider it.
Glory means heavy. Give me a couple of practical steps. Let's just say for you, you are a man I do life with. You want God. I see in you, you basically were dealt a death blow by the Father in 2020. You even got to a point you were battling some things in your own body, a sickness you were going through, and you even told the Father, I'm all yours. If I live, I'm yours. If I die, I'm yours. I've watched the Father, you've gone through the journey that we all go through. At least we have the opportunity to go through. Not everybody can pull it off. You've gone through a Luke 9:23 season. Deny yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, now the Father is elevating you to a high place in his heart. I give you a word about 12 weeks ago. I started yelling at you from stage in one of our prayer times. And I said, I see you walking the lonely path, the lonely path, the lonely path. Well, that's actually the most valued path. It's the path of the wilderness. It's Jesus and Abba bonding. But let's get practical. Yes, you want to steward his heavy glory, but that never accidentally happens.
No.
Give me one or two things that you do to acclimate to thin air.
Oh, man, I get on my knees. I get on my knees and
okay.
I consider who he is and who I am and what I am without him. I consider, you know, what I bring to the table and what he brings to the table, and realize that what I bring to the table is I can't put it into words. It's just overwhelming when I considered him that he loves me so much that he would confide in me, that he would trust me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I don't want to ever betray his trust. One of the things the Father has shown me about the fear of the Lord is it's the choice between obedience and disobedience. And the disobedience, the desire for disobedience comes from a desire for comfort and self-will and self-righteousness. And the desire for obedience comes from humility. It comes from a love of Father. I don't just want to know the goodness of God for what he's done for me. I've come to realize that I love him because of who he is.
Yeah.
You know, not just because he's been, I mean, he saved my life last year. Last year, my life was in balance. I thought I was going to die. There were times I was on my knees trying to get air and it just, my body just wouldn't receive it. And he saved my life. But what I realized at that point in time is that it didn't matter if I live or die if I didn't have him. If I don't know him, and that's what matters, knowing him. To know him.
You know, Vince, you were part of Mount Zion here for over 2 decades before we merged and I became lead pastor of Bridgeway Church. You've been around here for a long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that have been around Pentecostal teaching, charismatic teaching, they have a hard time with me because I talk about death so much, and it seems to contradict so much of charismatic teaching, but they misunderstand me. The death that I'm talking about is the type of death that resurrection power can hit.
Yes.
So there's resurrection power hitting your life. So if all I do is quote passages of God just, yes, he wants to bless me and I'm clean in Christ, all that stuff's true. But here's the question. How does the blessing come? I can prove biblically how it comes. You go really low. You go into a desert.
Mm-hmm.
Resurrection power can only hit someone who's dead.
Yeah.
Lazarus couldn't fix himself.
That's right.
I'm going to close with this. You know, a couple of practical steps that I do to handle thin air, and I'm not even saying I can pull it off. I'm just saying these are two things that I practice that helps me get more comfortable at stage 4 or 5 on the mountain. Solitude and fasting. This documentary I'm watching, I mean, some of these people, their eyes roll back in their literal heads and their brains swell up. It's way more real than the movie Everest.
Mm-hmm.
They are, it's a long word I can't pronounce, but they can't get oxygen to their brain. This air is so thin.
Yeah.
If I want to go into Pauline territory, not for accolades. I don't care about that. Paul sure didn't. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
I literally want to be considered. I want him to say, you're one of my closest friends. Whether what that manifests on the earth, I don't give a rat's tail. I don't care.
Yeah.
This is second realm stuff and third realm stuff. But it's not unpredictable. The path of Paul, the path of Jesus, and the final path of Simon Peter when he finally died to himself, it's death.
Yeah.
It's Luke 9:23.
Yeah.
All right, who wants to be my disciple? Hey, me, pick me. Okay. Deny yourself.
Right.
Pick up your cross and follow me.
Right.
And I have found, Vince, for me, solitude starves me of a need to want to be noticed or applauded.
That's when you should be the most aware, because when men pat you on the back and say, I mean, Jesus ran from this. When men pat you on the back and say, great job,
yeah,
wonderful word, awesome teaching. That's when you shoot your antennas, the red flag should go up in your heart and say, wait a minute, don't absorb that stuff.
Success is more dangerous than lack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't absorb it, because so, if you absorb it, you'll end up exalting yourself above the knowledge of God.
Well, then here's the question. Okay, then, so how does a person not absorb it? This is what I'm saying. Take some time off from food. You know the Orthodox Jews fast 1 day a week?
No, I didn't.
1 day a week. I read a report recently that people who fast 1 day a week live on average over 7 years longer than other people. It's built in from Abba. I'm telling you, he loves it. Forget the physical benefits. I'm just being honest. I feel weak when I fast.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Fasting, solitude. I'm talking literal solitude. I'm not talking, even a journal can be a disassociation where I just write all the time. Just sit with him.
Yeah.
It'll drive your flesh crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then suffering.
Yeah.
And this is what suffering is to me. It has nothing to do with sickness. Suffering is choosing difficult things, walking through a difficult path with Abba, doing the hard things. Because what happens is, I feel like he's showing me right now, it's a generation of that John the Baptist thing. I must become less. He must become great.
Exactly.
I must become less.
Exactly. And see, that in doing so, and he's going to take you, once you decide to go down this path or go up that mountain, he's going to take you to a place where it's painful. He's going to take you to a place where people reject you. He's going to take you to a place where people hate you, you know? And yeah, there'll be some who pat you on the back, but I'm telling you, don't let that deceive you, because if you get to that point where, yeah, I know God and God knows me and I love God, and then people come, hey, you're such a wonderful believer in Christ, and oh, you're so awesome. Pray for me, brother. You know, when you get to that point where you're receiving those accolades and they become important to you, you sit right there on that mountain. You'll sit right there. That'll become your base camp. All right. But if you want to exceed, if you want to go higher in Christ, then you just have to let that stuff roll off your back like water on a duck's back. Because, see, a duck doesn't know it's wet. All right. It doesn't care about the water. All right. So don't care about the water. Just ascend. Ascend because he's the most important. He's the most high. You know, you ascend to him. That he, everything that he says this, you are my workmanship created for good works. All right. Who do you think is doing the good works?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You?
No.
You think that you're doing the good works?
No.
You're going to sit right there at base camp.
No.
All right. You give God the glory. All right. You don't glory in God's presence. You do not glory in his presence.
I've never told you this. Haddon Robinson, you probably never heard of him. Christianity Today ranked him as one of the top 10 English-speaking preachers of all time. He came to my seminary 22 years ago. I was on an elevator with him. He said, son, I want to give you some advice. He said, you need to learn how to be a duck. And it makes more sense 22 years later.
Mm.
He said, because you're going to need to let that water just roll right off your back. Yeah. Well, I bless you with this, Coach and Joe audience. May you hear in your spirit that Fuji song, Killing Me Softly, all day today. Because the Father doesn't come to kill us because something's wrong. It's because we're actually stepping into some heavy, yes, some heavy glory.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to need it. You're going to need to die in order to survive in thin air. I bless you in the name of Jesus that you would have a desire to walk in friendship with the Father more than you want your next breath. Be at peace.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and coachandjoe.com. For epic merch, blogs, and ways to help keep us up and running. We'll see you next time on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast.